Jesus Christ. Just think about it. Think about it. The title of this message today is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's not a question. That's a fact. It's not debatable. Not debatable. But what is debatable is if you choose Jesus as your Lord. That's a personal choice. That's a choice between spiritual life here on earth, spiritual death here on earth, eternal life after earth, eternal death after earth. See, it's personal. It's very personal to each individual here. Very personal. So today I want us to be able to focus. Focus on Scripture. Focus on the words of the Lord. As if you are the only one in the room and the Lord is speaking these words directly to you. Directly to you. I want these words to fill your hearts, your minds, your spirits, and your souls. In Jesus' name. So as we look at Luke 9, 23 and 24, the words of Jesus. And he said to them, said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If anyone would come after me, says the Lord, let him deny himself. Deny, says the Lord. Deny yourself. How many times the Lord has spoken that to your hearts? Don't do it. Deny. How well are we doing with that? Those spoken words of the Lord, how well are we denying ourselves of the things of the flesh? How well are we doing it? 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it, says the Lord. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Lose your life to save your life. Lose your life to save your life. How do we do that? Well, our ways are not the Lord's ways at all. We must surrender to the authority of Jesus to save our life. We must submit ourselves under the lordship of Jesus to save our life. We must live in obedience to Jesus to save our life. We must line our lives up with the will and the ways of Jesus to save our life. The ways of Jesus. We are called to walk in the ways of Jesus. You and I, every person on this earth, is called to walk in the ways of Jesus. How well are we walking in those ways of Jesus? It's personal. We must examine ourselves through his word. It's very personal. How well are we walking in the ways of Jesus? The holiness, the righteousness, the compassion, the love. How well are we doing those things? How well? As we say Jesus is Lord, also means Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Psalms 33:12 reads, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Blessed is the nation, the people whose God is Lord. That's you and I. We are blessed. We are a blessed nation. We must understand how blessed we truly are because our God is Lord. Understand it. The words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. The word Lord shall never be taken lightly. There should be a godly fear. Godly fear. Lord. Lord. Jesus. Jesus walked through those doors right now. Better yet, if Jesus just did us like he did the disciples and just appear, the reaction. You feel it? You feel it? Do you understand? That is why when they fell on their face, and I want to read something. It's just, man, 1 Kings, it's not up here, but 1 Kings 18:39 reads, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That's how you feel. They knew the deity of the Lord. They knew the supreme power of the Lord. They knew the supreme authority of the Lord. Authority walked in the room. The only thing I could think of is just bowing in that moment, just bowing down to the Lord. That's godly fear. That's godly fear. I want to look at Proverbs 1:7, speaking of that fear of the Lord. And when I think about this scripture here, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. You want knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise his wisdom and instructions. And when I think about this passage, I think about my dad growing up when he would tell me what to do, give me instructions on things to do. And I knew if I didn't do it, there would be consequences. There was a fear there of what would happen if I didn't do what he told me to do. Now, as I grow older and I was in and out of the house, he also told me things to carry me outside the house, gave me knowledge on things that I should know outside those doors so I would understand life. See, he would never tell us anything that was wrong for us, harmful for us. Sometimes we didn't listen, and guess what? We had to face the consequences of not listening to someone who has wisdom and knowledge. Jesus has all the wisdom in the world for us. His word tells us that. You want knowledge? Listen to Jesus. There has to be a fear sometimes in order for people to get it, some people to listen, respect people, a fear. Think about your jobs right now. Think about your jobs. Your boss asks you to do something, you're going to do it because you fear the fact that you might get fired. So you're going to line up with the rules of the job. Think about Jesus, the fear of eternal death by not being obedient to his word. Which is greater? Which is greater? Here on earth or eternal life with Jesus? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Life-saving, life-giving, these words. He gives us instruction on how to live a long, prosperous life. Prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. I think about our younger generation when I read that. Our younger generation. It breaks our hearts to see that our younger generation obeys the streets more than they do anything else. Day after day, lives cut short. Cut short. Not even having a chance to get to know the fear of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. Our younger generation must listen, must understand the ways of the Lord. It's the key to our lives. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Psalms 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Lord rules are life-giving. They allow you and I to fulfill our highest purpose in this life here on earth. It keeps us from failure. The rules of the Lord keeps us from a lot of failures here. Have you ever experienced failure? It hurts. Seems like you're all by yourself. But the joy of it is the first thing you turn to is the Lord. You know you can come back. You turn to the Lord. I need to get right. I need to get to the Lord. Somehow, some way, I need to correct my life. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for who he is. Now, as I speak of failures, I really must admit mine. Not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to tell you how this message even came about. I was walking my dog and just pondering, thinking. And I was walking and I was thinking about a decision someone had made, no one that we know. And I questioned it in my mind, did that person think of Jesus when they made that decision? And in that moment, the Holy Spirit asked me, well, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Just like that. And in that moment, I knew where he was going. Because I had made some decisions recently that was not in the will of God. I made some fleshly decisions, and he made me recognize that. So who was I to question someone else's decision? So I answered the question he asked me, who was Jesus to me? I said, my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior. And I asked myself, why did he have me say Lord and Savior? I could have said, he's my God. So I started, Lord, Savior. Lord, Savior. He can't be our Savior. He's not our Lord. And I got when he said that. And it sent me to the Lordship of Jesus to study it. To study it. And I had to examine myself because what I read, it exposed me. And I had to realize that I wasn't really under the Lordship of Jesus. See, sometimes we think we somewhere, maybe here, maybe there, until we read his word. If we live to honor Jesus, we must understand his word. See, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, that he still speaks to me. God corrects those who he loves. So I am so thankful. Yes. So we come to the Lordship of Jesus, where we all should be. Again, it's a personal choice. It's personal. Lord's word cuts like that two-edged sword. It cuts deep. It exposes us to who we really are, to ourselves first. And if we stop it there, then the rest of the world won't have to see it. We can walk in the ways of the Lord. But take it personal. As we went through the study of Daniel, the commitment of being in the Lord's will, we went through the study, and Pastor Ned gave some messages on Daniel. For me, it's coming full circle. The Lord has been speaking in my heart about it, and there's a reason why we was there studying these things of Daniel. There was no compromise in Daniel. Whatever the Lord's will was, that's what Daniel did. Even if it cost him his life, there was no question. The Lord put him under a ruler that wasn't so good. But he obeyed the Lord because he knew that the Lord put him in that spot. But when it came to the time to defile the things of the Lord, Daniel said, no, you can take my life, have my life. I'm not going to do it. Daniel was a man just like us. Just like us. So if Daniel can do that, what do you think you can do? These are the examples in the Bible for us to follow. And this is one of the examples that everybody knows about. Will you go that far to be under the lordship of Jesus? Will you? The meaning of lordship, these words, I want you to let them abide in you. Examine yourself by these words, as I did. For Jesus to be Lord of your life means that he is the ruler, the boss, the master of your whole life. He cannot be Lord of a part. He must be given control of the entire life, the whole life. We say amen, hallelujah. How are we doing with that? Is Jesus the ruler, the boss, the master of our lives? Do we put him before everything? And if you can say that you are truly under the lordship of Jesus when you examine yourself today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. But if you can't, that's why we have his words. His teaching. That's why we have repentance. He picks us back up, sets us back on the path of life so that we can carry on in his will. That is the message of the cross. We have failures, but we can't stay there. We can't let those failures dominate us. If Daniel can do it, so can we. So can we. Stay on the path of righteousness that we are called to by Jesus Christ. Being in line with that is life-saving, life-giving. That's the truth of the cross. Now, as we say Lord, Lord also means ownership. Ownership. Psalms 24:1 reads, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. As you and I, our whole being belongs to the Lord. Our decisions we make upon our kids, our marriages, our spouses, our friends, everything belongs to the Lord. We must consult with the Lord before every decision is made. That's being under the Lordship of Jesus. How are we doing with that? Do we consult with the Lord with every decision we make? The bottom line is, if Jesus wouldn't do it, we shouldn't do it. If Jesus wouldn't say it, we shouldn't say it. If Jesus wouldn't eat it, we shouldn't. That's a personal choice. That's a personal choice. But it comes to this. I'm going to ask you that question that the Holy Spirit asked me. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And I say our actions show who Jesus is. Examine ourselves. Examine our actions. We must ask ourselves who Jesus is to us. Each individual is personal. It's personal. And I must ask another question. Are you under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are you under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I know we claim the Lord as ours. But the Lordship of Christ, so much more. So much more. I want to take you back. I want you to rewind in your minds when we all made that confession. That confession that I believe each one of us here and each one of us live screaming have made that confession. That confession at the time that mattered more than anything else in this world to you and I. That confession that freed you. That confession that rescued you. That confession that gave you new life, new birth. That confession that gave you a new heart, eternal life. That confession of Romans 10:8-10:9. How are you doing with that confession? Do you remember that confession? Where it all started? Where it all began? Your faith journey. That confession that you agreed to, that you said you will abide by. How are we doing with this confession? Romans 10:8 reads, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. 10:9. But because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That confession, do it bring back the memories? Do it bring back the memories of what we are supposed to be doing, of what we signed up for? The confession of Jesus not only being our Savior, but our Lord. See, we call him Lord, but are we walking under his Lordship? As Luke 6:46 reads, the words of Jesus speaking. The words of Jesus speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? That's Jesus speaking. Not do what I tell you. We must put his words, his commands, into practice. Not just be hearers of his word, but we must be doers of his word. Doers of his will. There are consequences for not doing what he asks us to do. We can't always sugarcoat grace. We must understand that we can't walk this earth doing the things of the flesh when he called us out of the flesh. See, he loves us. He wants to help us. He understands the struggle. But he has overcome the struggle, giving us examples to overcome that struggle. The will of God. Matthew 7:21 also reads, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we accept him as our Lord by words only. Dead words. If we're not putting them into practice, we're not walking in the will of the Lord. Those are dead words. That confession do not mean anything. Anything. I ask you this question right now. If today was judgment day and Jesus was before you, would you hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant? Will you hear those words from Jesus if today was judgment day? I can only speak for myself. I say no. I admit that. There's more to do. He has blessed me with another day, a day of repentance. Put me back on the path of righteousness, holiness, blamelessness. Where we ought to be. You know, church, coming into the house of the Lord on Sundays for us, the ones that's here, there, this is like a teaching for us, preparing us. Because most of us know the Lord. It's preparing us for what's outside those doors. See, it's hard outside those doors. But we get it. But outside those doors, there's a lot of evil. But it seems like outside those doors, the ones that are living in sin are the happiest ones. It rings true, don't it? That's a sad truth. But we know that's false hope that they have. That's false happiness that they have. But outside those doors is a lot of hurt. A lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of mourning. It makes me think about this being the sanctuary. You get beat down by the enemy Monday through Saturday. And you come into the house of the Lord. You come into the house of the Lord as your sanctuary. You forget about that. Because those, as she said Sunday too, those that come into the house of the Lord, you must walk through the gates with praise. Whatever the devil had on your back those other 6 days, once you walk through this house of the Lord, should be gone. That depression, whatever you was feeling, should be gone. The Lord is not pleased when we walk in this house with our heads hanging low like the devil to beat us down and have power over you. He is not pleased with that at all. Understand that the enemy has no authority over us. None. Walk in that authority. If you are saved by the Lord, walk in that authority. Daily, walk in it. Walk in it. These are hard times for a lot of people. But we live by faith, not by sight. So the Lord, he strengthens us in these ways. We are here, as Pastor Ned states, we are here for a time such as this. Motivate yourself in the Lord. His word is true. His promises are real. Yes. Do we get it? Do we get it? We must get it. It's not an if, and, or but about it. We must. Life is short. Day after day, life is getting shorter for us. We must make that decision to follow the Lord, no matter what. We must make that decision to follow the Lord, no matter what. But I tell you this, it may be evil outside those doors. May be evil outside those doors. And I pray that the evil is in our room right now. But that for that evil that's outside those doors, as Philippians 2:10-11 reads, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So no matter the evil outside those doors, no matter what come up against you, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. And if you are under the lordship of Jesus, you are there. That can overcome you. You overcome it, being in Christ. And I want to end with this passage here, Romans 14:8. This is not, it ends with this passage. This is our life. This is who we are. We belong to the Lord. Whether you're the baddest person on the planet, you belong to the Lord. Our president belongs to the Lord. The Pope belongs to the Lord. Your bosses belongs to the Lord. Our children belongs to the Lord. The men of the house belong to the Lord. Us men must bow down to the Lord, no matter how strong we think we are. We must bow down to the Lord. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. Understand that. Strengthen yourself. Place yourself in the will of the Lord. Let him have his purpose in your lives. That's the only way you will know your purpose, if you're aligned in the center of the Lord. Aligned in the center of the Lord. Please understand that Jesus is our Lord and that we are called to be under his lordship. As these words has entered into my heart, as he spoke these words into me, may they be spoken into your heart also. Things must change, and we are on the front line. As God's people, we are on the front line of that change. See, it's more to do than here. This is our practicing place. This is our gathering to get us prepared outside those doors. We take what we learn here, and we take it outside those doors. Don't let COVID stop us. What the Lord speaks to your heart, let it be done. And he's speaking. I know he's speaking. Because he's speaking. If he's speaking to me, I know he's speaking to you. Prepare ourselves so when the Lord says go, we go. When he sends us, we must go. So many lost souls outside these doors that need Jesus, need to know Jesus. So let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that these words just abide in our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray for your strength for those who are struggling right now, Lord. But understand that being under your lordship is life-giving and life-saving. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Bless these families that's here today, Lord. Bless each and every family that's live streaming, Lord. Bless this community, Lord. May we walk in the ways of you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
Wonderful.